Jill Anderson is a naturalist and plant ecologist, and she joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hello.
Well, Jill, I had to look this one up. You're going to tell us about bryozoans or moss animals?
Yeah, right. I am. I'm going to try to. They're not the easiest thing to describe, in part because they're really different from most of the living things that we are, you know, apt to see. I haven't seen very many of them. The last one I saw was last summer, but I hadn't seen one for years until then. I'm not so sure that that's because they're really rare or just that they can be living at, they're an aquatic animal, so they can be living at a depth in the water where we can't perceive them. So they may be all over the place. You know, if you were down there in somewhere, maybe probably not in really deep water, but in shallower water, but, you know, oftentimes we don't have great water clarity down to a very great depth in some of our shallower lakes and streams. So it may just be that they're settled on some other surface and living on another surface that we can't see. So I haven't ever done any scuba diving in our local lakes, some snorkeling and things, but you'd need a light and stuff, you know, to get down when you got down very deep. So they may be down there, but they're really interesting. And I wish I ran into them more just because I find them really fascinating, partly because they sort of tweak our sense of what's an animal.
Yeah, they don't look like an animal.
Yeah. So there are many bryozoans around the world. Most of them are marine animals, and most of them have exoskeletons, so some kind of a hardened case that the animal lives in. But there's one class within this big phylum of bryozoans that are exclusively freshwater species. That's what we have here, of course, and they are unmineralized, so they don't have any kind of a hard case that each of these little animals is living in. So they form these kind of gelatinous masses, maybe, you know, football size. I think the one I saw last summer was a little bit bigger than that, and they're not pointed at the ends. They just tend to be more or less a rounded, globular shape. And they look gelatinous in the light, you know, because the way they reflect the light. You see lots of little black dots embedded within the surface and kind of spread over the surface. And the one I saw last year looked kind of a golden color. And that may have been because of the tannins in the water, maybe gave it, I'm not sure. This one that I saw was on the branch of a larger tree that had fallen into the water and was pretty decayed, had been there a while. And so these are, as you said, moss animals, and I'm not exactly sure why they're called that. Maybe it's just because they form this kind of cushion-looking thing, or I don't know what, or they're because they're colonial, but they don't really look like a moss either. That's a little bit misleading, maybe. But they are composed of something called zooids, and they're called zooids, these little animals, because they're not fully independent. So they're not quite an animal, you know, an independent animal that can kind of live all on its own. So they group together in these globs, and to feed, they filter water. So each of these little, if you look close at one of these, a part of one of these bryozoans, you can see these small individuals all closely nested together. What you wouldn't be able to see is their feeding mechanism, which is that they have a tuft of cilia of hairs at the top of them, so at this what would be on the surface of this globular mass, and they just sway there out in the water, similar to the way that a sponge feeds and many other marine organisms that are on reefs and things. And the cilia on the sides of these tentacles that they have up in the air are beating and creating a current that brings the water down through this whorl of tentacles to the base, where the water then goes out. And as the water comes down through this whorl of tentacles, there are cilia on the inside that, when there are food particles, so these would be diatoms or other little unicellular algae, they get stuck on a mucus that's on those cilia. And then those cilia do their own rhythm of beating that bring it down, bring those food particles down into the zooid, into the mouth of the zooid. So this is all going on, you know, at a pretty fine level. But I just think they're fascinating, and they look so otherworldly. I can't, other than some really unusual freshwater sponges, these are just some of the most amazing looking for weird things.
I'm thinking science fiction, yeah. While you're talking here. Yeah.
Okay. Each of these zooids has the capacity to clone itself several times, and that's how a bryozoan grows over the course of a summer. This globular mass is just a one-year thing. It's not something that goes on and on. And so each one will clone itself several times, and then it's done. It dies. And so they're kind of budding off these clones around themselves. And so if you come upon one of these late in the summer when they can reach a significant size, all the living zooids are around the outer edge. It's not in the center. The center will be all the zooids that have come and gone, all the progenitors. And if a clump, you know, a piece gets dislodged, a clump of zooids, that can drift around and settle somewhere else. And you might find a piece washed up on the shore even, or drifting in the water near the surface. They can also produce sexually. In that case, they release a fertilized egg into the water column, and it drifts around and eventually hatches into a larva. And these larvae have a band of cilia that help them swim, so they're not entirely free-floating. They have some ability to move themselves. And then they also have a little adhesive sac on them, so that when they settle onto a surface, it will help them anchor to that surface. And each one of these larvae produce a few of the business ends, the feeding parts of the zooid. So each one can start as a little colony, really, and then begin to grow from there.
Jill Anderson regularly updates us with the goings-on in our woods and, in this case, waters. Thank you for bringing us up to date on moss animals.
You're welcome.